If you grew up in Texas, you may be familiar with catch-all phrases, those phrases that you can use for any and every occasion. It's like our version of aloha, can mean hello, goodbye, whatever. The one that got my attention from very early on is one of these catch-all phrases that you can use in any number of situations, and it's the phrase, "What in the world?" My favorite use of a version of that phrase, by the way, is when Slim Pickens rode in on a horse and said, "What in the wide, wide world of sports is a going on here?" What in the world? It can mean something really good, really bad, pretty much anything in between. Like the time when you and Neil Linhart decided it would be a good idea to throw a chain at a yellow jacket's nest. Did not go well, and his mom sat me down in the living room and asked, "Jeffrey, what in the world were you thinking?" Or the time that you got an extra check from your escrow that you didn't know was going to happen, and you opened it up and pulled the check out, and just almost without thinking about it, you said, "What in the world?" Can mean any number of things. It's one of these expressions that fits when you don't have words or when something happens that's too big for words. Believe it or not, when we're getting ready for Palm Sunday, we ran across an expression that is a world expression, and it occurred to me that in Scripture, that word, world, is used sometimes negatively, sometimes positively, and most of the time it is used as a way to say, this is too big for words. Through John 1 through 11, we encounter Jesus in the world. Jesus is doing things that catch people off guard. They are perceived as good by some, bad by others. But the one thing that you can never do when Jesus is acting in John 1 through 11 is ignore what's going on. We've been exploring this for a few weeks now, and it kind of caught me off guard as well that this week, Matthew 21 was the Palm Sunday reading. I thought, we just spent these 3 weeks before in these major stories, these miracles in John 1 through 11 that are actually setting up what happens in John 12, and the lectionary reading swung to Matthew 21. So we read it at the beginning of worship. I'm going to preach from John 12 because this needs to be heard this morning. It captures everything that we've gotten to up to this point. The Samaritan woman. What was happening with the Samaritan woman? Essentially, no one knows me. Jesus, he knew her. Then there was the man born blind. What's the problem? I can't see. So what does Jesus do? Jesus gives me sight. And then, of course, Lazarus. What's wrong with Lazarus? Well, I'm dead. And what does Jesus do? Lazarus is able to say, not only am I alive, but Jesus has given me and continues to give me abundant life. And then you know what happens after that? The whole wide world shows up. And this is what happens in John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." In this first moment of the story leading right up to that original Palm Sunday, there's so much happening. But the main thing that happens at this dinner is that Lazarus is sitting next to Jesus. Lazarus is sitting next to Jesus. You remember this Lazarus. He was dead. He was dead, dead. People were at the funeral, and now he's sitting next to Jesus. Now, here she comes with the perfume, the nard. This is an extremely important moment. John, if you hadn't picked up on this already, is this master storyteller who talks about everything like we already know the story. Because most of us, by the time you get to the Gospel of John, you've heard these stories before, and he's referring to them. This was, you know, Lazarus, remember him? He was dead. This is Judas. Y'all already know him. He's the one who's going to betray Jesus at the end of the story. So there's all this jumping back and forth. But what is happening that Jesus is about to ride into Jerusalem? He's riding into Jerusalem, but this is the guy who was talking to the Samaritan woman. And he's not just a guy, he's a prophet. This is the man who, when he met a man born blind from birth, gave him sight. And Lazarus is alive now. And then this happens. Verse 9. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Now, that happens the day before Palm Sunday. So on Saturday, what's the most important thing that's happening? Again, Lazarus. Yeah, they came to see Jesus, but they also wanted to see the reason why they were coming to see Jesus. And it was because we've been hearing stories about Jesus, but we were at Lazarus's funeral, and people are saying that he's alive. No. Come on. These stories are getting out of hand. Well, come see for yourself. Oh, believe me, I will. And so we marched in, and guess what? It wasn't a Lazarus look-alike. It was the actual Lazarus. We went up and talked to him. And then word started going around that, you know, they were going to try to kill him again. And then the next day happens. Verse 12. The next day. The great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." That's Palm Sunday in the Gospel of John. And this is just to catch our attention, given the fact that we began worship with the Matthew 21 version of this story. Why did we read Matthew 21? It's because it's the long Palm Sunday story. There's all kinds of things happening in it. There's all kinds of details. There's things people are singing, but we get to John, and John says, "The next day, Jesus rode in, there were palm branches. They said, Hosanna." Now, let's talk about something else. Why? It's because John, as he's writing this story, says, there's so much more that we need to tell you. Jesus riding into town? Yes. But get this. I'm going to tell you about Lazarus again. Jesus rides in, and then John, just as you would expect John to do, spends most of the story offering commentary. He's telling us the story. He's helping us out. He's saying this is why we should be paying attention to this story. It's not just waving palm branches and singing. This is why this is important to you. This is why we're listening to this story this morning. And this final commentary says everything. It says everything. And it is precisely what we need to hear today. This is what you need to hear today. The closing commentary of the Gospel of John version of the Palm Sunday, the original one. And this is it. Verses 16 through 19. You may want to read this multiple times today. John 12, 16 through 19. His disciples did not understand these things at first. Pause. Time out. Why do we need to hear this morning? It's because we're the disciples in this story. I mean, what would happen if, you know, like say we had class this morning and there were like all these people and some of them knew these stories, some of them didn't, and your assignment was explain Palm Sunday when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem and they waved palm branches and shouted Hosanna. Yeah, 15 minutes. Explain. Where would you start? You even know what the word Hosanna means? I mean, again, this is the thing. What is this about? John is helping us not just listen to the story, but become part of this story. His disciples did not understand these things at first. I got news for you. They didn't understand them at second. And they didn't understand them at third. This is something that all of us, generation after generation, we tell these stories over and over again, not so that we can explain everything, but because we enter the story, and this is where we enter it again. 12, 16 through 19. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of Him and had been done of Him. So the crowd that had been with Him when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that He had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet Him. Then the Pharisees said to one another, "See, you can't do nothing. Look, the whole wide world has gone after Him." The Pharisees would have fit right in Texas. Because that's a beautiful overstatement, right? What are we going to do about Jesus? What do you mean, what are we going to do about Jesus? The whole wide world's gone after Him. Okay, it's not the whole wide world. Not yet. But we're getting there. Have you ever heard, and this is a part of our story, this is a part of the story that we tell as Christians, that one day, it's not today, maybe later today, it may be tomorrow, but one day, every knee is going to bow. Heaven, earth, under the earth, you name it. And then you know what's going to happen? Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And then we can say, whole wide world. Whole wide world's gone after Jesus. Why? Well, let me tell you a story about a Samaritan woman. And let me tell you a story about a man blind from birth. And let me tell you a story about Lazarus. And then there's one more story that's going to really finish it all out. But that's not till next Sunday. That's what Easter is about. For this week, the week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, what you need to grab a hold of is a promise. And it is a promise that has to do with the whole wide world. Today, the whole wide world is invited to Jesus. The whole wide world is invited to grab palm branches, stand on the side of the street, and begin singing. That invitation today is not just for you, it's not just for me, it's not just for us, it's for the whole wide world.
Please stand as we sing together and remain standing for our benediction.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior.